Hi, I'm Justine.
And I'm the type of guy that'll never settle down. Roaming on the streets, I go from town to town. I'm the wanderer, yeah, I'm the wanderer. I roam around, 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 around.
Usually I don't enjoy your avant-garde intros.
Mm-hmm.
But this one I thoroughly enjoyed.
That's because it's a jammer.
Yeah. And
it flaps.
I like when you sing to me.
About sexual promiscuity.
That's the best time.
Fair enough. So, hello everyone. This is the Cozy Co-op.
The much delayed Cozy Co-op.
Oh, yeah, it's been a hell of a week or two.
Don't say naughty words.
I think that word's allowed.
It's allowed.
I'll have to...
But you're on thin ice.
This is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a games journalist and a creative writer talk about a video game. And today's game is Fallout 4.
We're really sorry about if anyone was waiting for us to talk about...
Just itching to hear about.
We happy few. I really liked the episode that we did for it. Unfortunately... As soon as we came, you know, we exited the recording booth, we realized that Audacity had not recorded basically any of what we had said.
It had frozen up, basically.
It locked up as soon as, you know, we got situated. A lot of the delay was due to my frustration about that and not wanting to have to re-record everything that we tried to express about this game.
Yeah, and it was just... A surprisingly busy couple of weeks for both of us.
Yeah, my hours at work got changed around, so finding recording time has been a little dicey.
And you've got book publisher stuff, because you're a professional.
Right.
Author.
I don't think we've mentioned on the show before.
Have we not?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, now's a good time, I guess.
I'm getting published.
Yeah.
Which is like, this has nothing to do with the video games, but.
Yeah, it has to do with the creative writing.
Right, yeah. I'm going to be an official creative writer now, so
yeah.
I've got, like, credentials and stuff. But, yeah, so if anyone is curious about that, we'll talk more about that when the book actually launches.
Yeah. Ask us on Twitter, though, if you care.
In the meantime, eventually we'll get around to doing We Happy Few again.
Yeah,
I think.
We're thinking about waiting in to see how the developers react to it.
It didn't,
if they update it or not.
It didn't get the best reception for its full launch, but I think you and I kind of agreed that it didn't deserve a lot of the heatedly angry...
Oh, yeah. The gaming community really likes to get super heated over small things.
Right.
Like how buggy a game is.
We're going to talk about that, too, in our Fallout 4 episode today.
Yeah, we will.
But, we just want to let you know that... Eventually, we'll get to We Happy Few, but for right now, we're kind of waiting to see how, you know, what happens when the dust settles from that one, and waiting for me to get over it, because I've had that happen before. I've written entire things and then had the whole thing get lost, and I've had to walk away and come back the next day before I could rewrite it, because
this
so
game,
frustrating.
Yeah, these games I've just stopped playing because of that.
Right, so... That'll happen eventually, but today we're just going to get to the news and then talk about Fallout 4.
Yes. So, news, three things. The first one is Twitch Prime has some changes to how they're handling ads. So.
Oh, right. I got this email, yeah.
Yeah. You got the email? I ignore my emails from Twitch, honestly. But yeah, if you're a member of Twitch and if you have Twitch Prime, which anyone with Amazon Prime does... You may have noticed you've gotten an email recently saying that Twitch Prime will no longer provide ad-free viewing. Now, for those who don't know, Twitch Prime was a kind of like special rewards membership for Amazon Prime owners for Twitch, the live streaming service. It gave you benefits like you could subscribe to a streamer for a month. You had like special emoticons you could use, and you could... You know, go around Twitch without any ads. Well, now they're removing the ads and people are upset. And I mean, understandably, I'm sick of Twitch ads. I hate them. They're awful. Because they're just the same three ads, and you see them like seven times a day. It's bothersome, and streamers themselves are making this tiny little stand up against it. A lot of sponsored streamers have been, as a group, disabling their own ads.
Wow.
So that, because they're saying, you know, Twitch, this is bad, this is just greedy, you know? So that's a thing that's happened. Twitch has not responded to the heavy onslaught of negative reaction. Let's hope they change it. That's all I can say. I'm not about to say go turn on your ad blocker.
But yeah.
If you did, I would not blame you.
Well, that's kind of how, because, I mean, now Netflix is putting ads in for their own.
Right. That thing's been happening, too.
Yeah, I don't foresee the ad situation improving anywhere.
Unfortunately. Well, the thing is, you can still have ad-free viewing if you get Twitch Turbo, which is a separate $8 a month
fee. That's weird. If there's already Twitch Prime.
Well, because Twitch Turbo existed before Amazon bought out Twitch.
Okay.
So, there's Twitch Turbo. That's been there. That exists. So, when Amazon bought Twitch, they introduced this kind of like Turbo Lite, which was Prime.
Okay.
You get free games every month. That's one perk.
Mm-hmm.
Next bit, A Hat in Time will be getting co-op. Now, this has me interested specifically for the podcast.
I saw Luke tweeting about this.
I bet he's a big fan. A Hat in Time was this crowdfunded platformer game, a 3D platformer, very much inspired by games like Banjo-Kazooie and like the Super Mario 64, that era of gaming.
Yeah.
It was very much inspired by that time, but, you know, modern quality. And it released and people really liked it. It's adorable. It's a good time. It's still a challenge. Well, they announced with their first DLC update that they'll be adding a co-op mode. That's it. It's just happy little news.
Everyone likes co-op.
I may or may not see if we can't play it together in co-op and maybe talk about it on the show.
Probably.
Final bit of news. The Dark Pictures Anthology by Supermassive Games has been detailed as 4 games. So, do you recall a game called Until Dawn?
Yes.
The creators of that game are working on a new game called, was it Man of Mahan? Which is a story about how these divers go out to sea and they discover a shipwrecked ship.
A shipwreck.
But strange creatures are found in this ship, and like it's a spooky game like that.
Okay.
Well, they've stated that this will be the first in 4 that they're calling the Dark Pictures Anthology.
Okay.
Each game is a homage to a classic subgenre of horror film.
Okay. Because
much like how Until Dawn was kind of like the cabin in the woods.
Right.
This is the shipwrecked, you know,
it's just, underwater, it's whatever. It's a noun. It's
the
not
shipwreck.
A verb. Yeah.
The underwater ship.
It makes me think
ship.
Of the Cthulhu. I don't want to say franchise, but, you know, the Cthulhu
mythos.
Yeah, the Cthulhu mythos.
And, you know, they might do some kind of cosmic horror one with the future games. We don't know.
Yeah.
They have also stated they plan to release one of these 4 games approximately every 6 months.
Okay.
So we can expect.
Pretty...
Yeah, we can get 2 of these in 2019 and then 2 of these in 2020. Supermassive is really good at, like, spooky games.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm trusting that they're going to make some really cool things.
Sure.
They might be short due to what sounds like a quick dev time, but I look forward to it.
Yeah.
And that's our last bit of news. How about on to that Fallout 4?
Yeah, this is a game we both play the snot out of.
We both have played this literally earlier today.
Yeah.
We've been playing it. I've been playing it since I've gotten a PlayStation.
And, didn't you say that was the first game you played on your PlayStation?
The first game I played was technically Black Ops 3.
Okay.
Was it 3 or was it, yeah, it was 3. Because it came with the console.
Oh, I see.
But you bet the very next day I went to Best Buy.
And got
myself Fallout 4.
We actually were just out at dinner and we're having a whole discussion about Fallout 4. Yeah. So we're coming off of that now.
Yeah, yeah, because we both play it a ton and we were bound to talk about it eventually.
Right.
Specifically 4, because while other games we can just encompass a franchise like Monster Hunter, I feel that there's enough about each Fallout that we should separate them into singular
and
episodes.
And, you know, as we kind of discussed earlier today, there are some major differences between each game in, like, what worked for it and what didn't, and how, you know, a few of them have been successful for vastly different reasons.
Oh, yeah. And the first two games aren't even made by Bethesda.
Yeah.
They're not even first person. They're top-down turn-based?
I don't know.
I wouldn't say turn-based. I'd say real-time. Yeah, there's a lot about the other games. So we're going to focus on 4.
Because that's the one Justine has played.
Yeah.
So, Fallout 4 was my introduction to the series.
Yes, it was.
I purchased New Vegas before that during a Steam sale like a year ago. But I've not played it. And now I keep putting off playing it because, one, I'm still not done with Fallout 4. Mm-hmm. And two, a lot of what I love about Fallout 4 is not in New Vegas.
That's what I was going to say. If 4 is your introduction, I'm not sure it'll easily translate
right
into New Vegas. And I've got thoughts on New Vegas. We'll get to that later.
I'm aware.
But yeah, 4 is definitely unique from all of the other ones. I mean, it introduced a fully voiced protagonist, which was a first. Mm-hmm. It led to some complications in the game's development and reception, but it's still a first. It was the first time you could have a female protagonist, I believe.
In the Fallout series?
Yeah, I believe all others were male, just by story.
Mm-hmm.
You could do base building, which was a new concept. You could modify your weapons and armor. That was new. But, yeah, you started less than a year ago, I'd say.
Yeah.
I can't quite recall when you started getting it. It wasn't that long ago.
It was sort of on a whim, I think. I don't remember why I started. I think maybe you encouraged it.
I absolutely did. I was hoping you'd play it and then you'd like it.
And I very much did. At first I didn't. Sort of the way I did with Skyrim, I played it for a bit and then was very bad at it, and so I didn't go back to it for a while because it stressed me out.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I got a decent set of armor pieces, I think I just picked up a collection of Raider stuff.
Oh, yeah, once you got yourself settled in, got some weapons, got some armor.
Yeah, I will tell you, one bad experience to have right out the gate, I found another city, like another abandoned city.
Which city was this?
It was,
Was it the one full of ghouls?
Yes.
I can't remember the name, but I know where you're talking about.
Well, I mean, most of them are full of ghouls, but yeah, this one had a super duper mart.
Was that Quincy?
It's not Quincy, because Quincy's way over to the east. Yeah,
Jonestown? Something like that?
No. This is like south of... What is the first place you find the Minutemen? Like Preston?
Oh god, I'm blanking on the name. That doesn't matter.
Because I think it's south of that place.
Yeah, I think I know where you're
it's
talking
about.
It's not
far, but... Yeah, I went into the Super Duper Mart thinking, hey, there'll be a bunch of stuff in there. And I was right, but this was also when I found out what ghouls were.
Yes.
And it was not well lit in that building. And I kept thinking, there can't be that many of them in here. And it was the Super Duper Mart was super duper overrun with ghouls. And yeah, it was extremely stressful. I was thanking my lucky stars when I finally made my way out of there again because they kept running at me and surprising me.
Ghouls are another thing that really changed in Fallout 4. In the previous games, same concept. You know, they were rotten, they run up to you and you hit them. They hit you. In 4, they really changed how they moved.
They move like...
They do the zombie shuffle and run a lot. But then when they're actually coming at you, they'll zigzag about all impossible-like.
Yeah.
And it makes it a lot harder to hit them, so it makes them they're able to close the gap between you and them so much quicker, which makes them so much more terrifying.
Well, yeah, but it's also like, they're, I think, aside from animals, they're the only enemy in the game that's like purely melee. So yeah. They have to design them so they can get within melee range of you.
They did. They managed to make that. And then, of course, there's always more than one.
Oh, yes. They travel in packs.
They, being Bethesda, they realized, treat them, you know, give them their strengths. In this case, their strengths is in numbers. They're weak. Mm-hmm. They're easy to take down. Their hits aren't that painful, but they hurt.
Uh-huh.
But it's very easy to get overwhelmed, and that's why they're like, well, let's throw three of them over here, and let's have two of them crawl out of the ceiling. And it really changed how you react to... Because when I was first playing around, I didn't even bother shooting them. I just kept a bat on my hotbar, so that as soon as they come up, like, oh, ghouls, not even going to shoot, just pull out the go whack.
Sometimes if I'm doing a quest where it's like you have to clear the ghouls out of these subway tunnels or something, I'll take the gun because I know there's just going to be an enormous amount of them. But honestly, I think it was after I got my ghoul armor. So
yeah, right. Right. Legendary. Another new thing to Fallout for.
Some of the first legendary items I got were off of ghouls, and one of them was a ghoul slayer's chest piece, which I ended up wearing for a long time when I was in the beginning. And then the other was a ghoul slayer's tire iron. So now
that's a good combo.
Yeah, now when I get a quest that's like, okay, go clear out these ghouls, I will put on my ghouls fighting armor and weapons and stuff, and it's really awesome because I take less damage from ghouls and I do more damage to ghouls, and it really, I can just, like a weed whacker.
Oh yeah, the exterminator. Though, like you're saying, the ghoul slayer stuff, you'll come across legendary enemies which, when they get to half health, they will regenerate their health and gain a new type of damage resistance.
Mm.
However, if you can defeat them, they will have a rare item that has a special wild card effect.
Yeah.
For example, the Ghoul Slayer's Tire Iron deals additional damage to ghouls. Whereas there's like the Sentinel's leather left leg armor, which will do... I think Sentinel's the one where if you're not moving, you gain additional...
That's just one of the pieces. It's not always Sentinel armor.
That's the thing. What special effect it has and what the armor and or weapon will be random. I have a plasma rifle that's a never-ending plasma rifle. I don't have to ever reload with it.
That's not... Okay, that is a different case. The never-ending plasma rifle is not a loot pickup from a legendary creature.
Yes, it was.
No.
The one I got was.
Okay. The one that I have, the prototype...
Oh, that's a laser rifle.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm talking plasma rifle.
My...
Yeah, you can be awarded with specific, you know, modified special pieces for a lot of the quests, like yours.
Well, yeah, this was more for just a reward for exploration. See, this is something that we both super-duper enjoy about Fallout, and we should just get into it right now, is
okay.
Fallout 4, its strength is the dense amount of content within a very open world.
Yes.
So you have quite a bit of map to work with, and it's big enough that it can fit a lot of stuff in it, but small enough that it doesn't take you 3 hours to, like, walk from one place to another.
Yeah. A good example being my main save file, which I've played the most, according to the data, I have 7 days and 9 hours of playtime on that game.
I have 5 days.
Which, yeah, you've been catching up hard.
Yeah.
Well, you are still finding things that I haven't.
Right.
Like, apparently I never found Grey Garden, the botanical garden run entirely by robots.
Yeah. I just, I got a quest to go there from a different settlement, I think.
Oh, really?
Someone else said, hey, go to Grey Garden, they need some help. And I went over, and they were like, yeah, we're having issues with the water. It's all gross and contaminated. Can you go do something about the water treatment plant down the way?
Which is neat, because I was sent to the water treatment plant for a different reason. I can't recall which.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was that when I did the cool cat thing?
Ooh, maybe.
It may have been them.
Yeah, I had a different quest for the cool cats.
But yeah, the wolves.
Atomic Cat. What?
I think maybe it was Atomic Cat.
It's Atomic something.
This 70s.
No, 50s. 50s. Very right. 50s.
This 50s style.
Biker gang.
Yeah, like.
Except instead of bikes, it's power
cool,
armor.
Like Cool Jake and, you know, Ritzy Susan.
They got their, like, bouffant hairstyle. It's hairspray. Grease. Yeah. It's grease.
Grease. That whole aesthetic. But they run around in power armor.
Yeah, instead of motorcycles.
I just realized we haven't actually said what Fallout 4 is. I know, odds are if you're listening by this point, you know, but...
I figured we didn't
For my own peace yeah. of mind, I want to explain.
The fourth game in the Fallout series. Not really the fourth, but...
So Fallout 4 is a post-apocalyptic open-world RPG. You play the character called... I think you're the sole survivor?
Yes.
I think that's it. Because, like, each Fallout game, the protagonist has a name.
A title.
A title, yeah. The first game, I think it's just Vault Dweller. Second game, it's Chosen One. Third, I believe you're the Lone Wanderer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
New Vegas, you're the Courier.
Yeah. And then I think in four, you're the Soul Survivor. And this is because you were alive before the nuclear war happened. You were cryogenetically frozen by a company called Vault Tech. So you woke up 200 years later after the bombs have dropped, and you're like, oh, wow, look, radiation and destroyed world, and you go do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you were saying...
Yeah, we were talking about how its strength is in...
Exploration.
Well, yeah, that was a quick aside.
Yeah.
The reason I brought that up is if, you know, part of it is people send you off to go do quests and you find more places. The other part of it is you just find things yourself and you can go into terminals or find notes on tables and you figure out what people were doing there before. Sometimes before the war, sometimes after the war, just what people were doing. And in reading a bunch of terminals in University Point, I found out that there was some cool technology underneath the bank. So I went down into the vault under the bank, which was not a Fallout shelter vault. It was just a bank vault.
Yeah, a bank vault.
Turns out they were doing more government military experiments down there, building prototypes for things. And that was where I found the prototype laser gun that has infinite capacity.
Yeah. Which...
So you get rewarded for following up on things that they're not even listed. You can find these notes and things, and they won't be listed as quests, not even in the miscellaneous category.
That is true. Like the radio towers.
Right. But, so, yes, definitely its strengths are in the ability to go and explore and just really do everything on your own terms and at the pace you feel like it. Its weakness is the writing.
Yeah, and when Fallout 4 came out, this was a common heated topic of do you love or hate Fallout 4?
Yeah, and depending on what you like in your video games, yeah, it really is a divisive subject.
And that was the problem, is people didn't see this as a matter of preference. They saw it as just a genuine flaw.
Yeah.
So there's people... aside from Fallout 4, one of the most popular Fallout games is Fallout New Vegas, which was not actually made by Bethesda. It was made by third-party Obsidian Entertainment,
yes.
I believe. And it had taken basically the Fallout 3 engine, and it had introduced it in Nevada, whichever one that is. And it was praised for having it improved on a lot of the features of Fallout 3, and it had a higher quality writing. Like, you had this conflict between an army replicating the manifesto of Caesar, which they call Kaiser a lot, which I find funny.
Kaiser.
And you have them arguing with this one man who's trying to get dominant control of the Strip, which is the only strip of civilization that mm-hmm. survived the explosions. Which, of course, Las Vegas, it's some casinos.
Well, there's the Vegas Strip.
The Vegas Strip,
the main drag.
That's the part that survived. And people really like this game because, yeah, it has some good writing. I personally believe that one of the DLC called Old World Blues might be the best DLC I've ever played in a game. It introduced a whole new environment. The writing and the concepts are absolutely phenomenal. And it was just a good time all around. The people who really liked this game for that reason hated Fallout 4 for the same reason. Fallout 4's writing is kind of weak. When you ask the leader of major organizations, why are you doing what you do? They don't go on this monologue about how this is what the minds of, you know, great leaders like Caesar believed, and we want to modify the world into this vision we see. A lot of the times the answer was either...
Caps.
One faction, if you were to ask them, their response is literally, you just wouldn't understand.
Which faction is this?
The Institute.
Oh.
The other...
That would explain why I've been spoiled for most of this game, but have not, like, understood what the Institute is doing there.
That's because, as far as writing goes, the Institute was done kind of lazily. The Institute's idea was, we've been hiding so that we can advance technology so we can improve the world when we were ready.
And instead, they've been wrecking stuff.
They don't really expand on it beyond that.
That's a very strange concept from people who are, like, replacing human beings with synthetic human beings.
Apparently it was for a greater good type scenario.
That's really strange.
Then you've got the Brotherhood, which...
Oh, the Brotherhood.
I love Fallout 1 Brotherhood. I hate Fallout 4 Brotherhood.
Right.
And it's also because, yeah, you're going through and you're doing all this incredible stuff for the Brotherhood, and when you try to question, like, why they're doing what they do and their role, and it's a, since they're an abomination and know your place,
yeah,
military rat.
It actually sounds a lot like, you know, nationalism, where it's like, you know, our culture is the right culture, our culture being... regular humans. Mm-hmm. They won't abide synths. They won't abide super mutants, which I can understand the super mutants. They're very bloodthirsty and terrible. And they won't abide ghouls. And...
Well, the synths are what blow my mind.
Right.
I get why they don't like ghouls and super mutants, because those are actively aggressive, you know,
I have a bone to pick with the ghouls one, but we can talk about that later.
Well, they don't... Okay, that's fair. There are probably some... ghoulist individuals in the Brotherhood. And actually, I guess in...
No, they keep listing them among the things they want to eradicate.
That is a weird problem, is that, like, you know, how do you differentiate a feral ghoul or not?
Well, one, they don't attack you on sight, but...
Well, I mean, conceptually, of course.
They do make me have weird feelings about ghouls in this game, because while they keep reiterating that ghouls are not undead, they're just heavily irradiated, maddened human beings, they do act very much like zombies do.
Oh yeah, gameplay-wise, they're zombies.
Yeah, and then you meet some that are not feral, and... You can just talk to them, and they're just like normal people who happen to now... be immortal with their skin falling off, but it's difficult because there are just so many instances in the game where someone is trying to rehabilitate feral ghouls, and then I'm like, but you still don't give me the option to not kill them. they have a perk where I can hit a beast, like an animal, and have it be docile or something.
Oh yeah,
have the
animal friend perk,
right,
or whatever.
You can't do that with ghouls. Anyway, back to what you were talking about with the Brotherhood.
Right. So, yeah.
They're supposed to be pro-technology.
Yeah, the Brotherhood of Steel, their main mission throughout the entire Fallout franchise is they want to find and preserve all technology while they can. This normally meant they would have men in power armor go out into the wasteland so that they can gather old information, technology, research, and all that, and bring it back for their scribes to research, categorize, and fully understand. They want to preserve technology. That's their bag. But then Maxton starts And he's like, no, let's just be a military force. And
it's extremely militant and makes me wicked.
It's the most militant it's ever been.
Yeah.
Well, except for maybe Fallout Tactics.
They're more militant than the Gunners.
A literal, like
military-based mercenary group.
Yeah, so in Fallout 4, the Brotherhood of Steel are super against... Can you say it?
Synths?
Yes. Which are lifelike androids. Apparently so lifelike you can't distinguish them from the outside.
Yeah.
The Commonwealth of Boston, where the game takes place, there's been a problem of synths replacing people. So, like, tensions are really high about synths.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, this is arguably the greatest technological achievement of mankind.
Right.
But the Brotherhood of Steel wants to eradicate them in their entirety.
Yes.
Because they called it a literal abomination.
And it's another instance where, yeah, you get hit by waves of, you know, actual robot-looking synths, and you have to fight them, but the...
But they want to get rid of the people like
the very, yeah, the very human synths, you get to, like, talk to them, and just, like, they're fine. They don't have any, like, secret agenda or anything. They're just people.
And it helps that, technically speaking, the aggressive synths are only aggressive because you or who they're attacking is directly going against what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
They attack the Brotherhood because these synths are in a building trying to do, like, their own research,
mm-hmm.
and the Brotherhood shows up.
Yeah.
And they attack each other. Or I lost my other example, but that's the point. It's, technically speaking, these aren't just naturally aggressive machines. They have their own jobs and missions that they're doing.
Yeah.
So I feel like if there wasn't a hostility towards them, they wouldn't be aggressive.
That's a good point. Now, my side of the not-so-great writing of this game... It has to do with the main plot in general, which you lose very quickly in this game.
Yeah.
Fallout 4, you are the only survivor of Vault 111.
Yes. Which turned out to have been... They advertised Vault 111 as just your standard post-apocalyptic underground vault. In reality, you were cryogenically frozen.
Frozen. We've been over this.
Yeah.
Cryogenically.
Is it cryogenic or
yes.
cryogenetically?
Cryogenic.
Okay, go on.
And
you, your wife, and or husband, and
yeah,
your son.
Depending on if you choose a male or female character to begin with, you have a wife or a husband, and then you have your baby son, Sean. And in the beginning of the game, after you've been cryogenically frozen, at one point you get woken up by people who have broken into this vault, ostensibly 200 years after you went in. And you watch as they take your son from your spouse and then kill the spouse and kidnap your son. And then, you know, one of the kidnappers says something to you and walks away. So your whole...
I think he calls you a backup.
Yeah, the backup. The whole goal for your sole survivor is to find out who took your son, get your son back, and probably get vengeance for your spouse.
Sean!
So quickly... You start running around the Commonwealth, and you completely forget about Sean. Now you're talking to Preston Garvey, and he's talking about restarting the Minutemen, because they're basically in shambles right now. And then they want you to go to Diamond City so that you can find out what happened to your son. Except you hit Diamond City, and you find Valentine, and you want to help his detective agency.
And then, Piper, and her newspaper.
Yeah. And you start meeting other people who have completely different things going on, and you start doing that. And you, as the character, this is supposed to be a very... I think this might have worked out better if this plotline had been used for a more linear game. But because this is very open world, with you having to do, like, a lot of stuff to level up and get through everything and explore and get through all of it, it ends up being like 3 months have gone by within the game, and I have gotten no further in finding my son because I forgot I had one.
Yeah, right. And I always find it very entertaining because, like, you'll go do a thing, and then so much time will have passed, you'll come back to actually do some of the story, and then your character will be aggressively searching, like, where is my son, Sean?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Right. I forgot I had one of those.
And people will talk to, my character's name is Camilla, and they're like, so, why are you doing all this? And she gets tearful. It's like, I'm just looking for my son. And like, when the second before she'd been like, hey, what's up? It's like, it's so not compelling in the framework of a very open world exploratory set up your base game.
Yes.
Because my goal now is basically taking over the Commonwealth. I'm in charge of the Minutemen. I did the Nuka World DLC and killed all the raiders, so now Nuka World is under my protection. And then, yeah, so it's all these areas. I keep collecting. Some people don't like to build up a whole lot of, what are they called? Settlements?
Settlements, yeah.
Because, yeah, it can be a lot to keep worrying about them and them going under attack and you have to go help them out or whatever. But I like collecting settlements because that's just more steps on my path to domination of the entire Commonwealth.
I like settlements just because I like building.
Yeah.
And I like decorating houses.
Yes, that's my... I love customizing my place. I have three places now that I consider a... like, you know, my home.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them is the apartment that I bought in Diamond City.
That's right, so yeah, because you can get a place there.
I dressed it all up and it looks really nice now. The other one, the OG settlement that I go back to all the time is my sanctuary. I just built a house from scrap there, and it's got, I put all my cool stuff on display, and it looks really nice, and I make sure, you know, all of that stuff. And then down the road is the Red Rocket Truck Stop, and that's my workshop. Where I keep all of my power armor.
Yeah, I have. I think it, what was it called? Something Tours Marina.
Hmm.
That's where I've bunkered, and only I am there.
Yeah.
And, like, that's where I've set up, you know, workstations, and that's where I drop all of my supplies and my good weapons I can't carry.
Yeah.
I have my own private settlement zone, yeah.
So, that's what I like in a video game, is being able to do things at my own pace in whatever order I want to do them, which makes the replayability much higher for me, because then I don't have to slog through the same, like, opening region, and then I have to do the same, like, milestone quests the same way in the same order. I can do it however I want to,
mm-hmm.
and go explore the places that I know I like first. And then, you know, having this ultimate customization. Customize your character, customize your home base, customize several home bases, make sure everyone's happy, be in charge of things. That's my video game fantasy, is to be effectively in charge. And then have companions that you can talk to and form relationships with and take with you, and they talk to you and stuff. That's why I love Fallout 4. I don't mind that the storyline is not super compelling to me, because I didn't care in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I didn't need it to have a good time in this game. I concoct my own storyline.
Yeah.
For me. Which is what I like about it. Should we cut to an ad break?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out a segue just right now. So... So, here's the thing. A note, I guess, from a sponsor here in Diamond City. And I'll just read it. Swatters! Own a piece of Diamond City history. And then beat people to death with it. Anyway, you're listening to the Cozy Co-op Podcast. If you're listening at all, I mean, so... Yeah.
Now, if you haven't played Fallout 4, you have no idea what that was. If you have played Fallout 4, you know it's everyone's beloved disc jockey.
Travis. God, I love Travis.
I do too. He's actually, that was the funny part, is when I was started running around Diamond City, the first thing I wanted to do was find Travis. I was like, where is my child? He starts out. I'm going to explain this one because I'm so excited about
Travis. Go ahead.
He starts out talking like that on the Diamond City radio station. He's nervous, you can hear the anxiety in his voice, and he's very depressed. And there are occasions when he will just outright panic about the mortality of man on the air.
He'll be talking about the Brotherhood, and he'll just go, "We're gonna die!" Ah!
And then, anyway. Oh, shoot, what's that really bouncy song? The Congo...
Civilization?
Oh, is that what it's called?
Onga, bonga, bonga, wow.
That one. That's, yeah, then that one just cues up right after he's done distressing.
Yeah.
But it's... And so I'm... The whole time I'm running around in the beginning, I'm like, I have to find this boy. I have to make sure he knows he's okay. So I go to Diamond City and I find him, and there's a quest line called Confidence Man.
Mm-hmm.
Where you... have a couple of the local bartenders, the very Russian bartenders,
Yadim and Yafem or something like that,
are friends with Travis, and they want to help him gain confidence so that his radio show doesn't completely suck. And this is my favorite quest out of all of the quests.
Oh, it's so
because
funny.
First you try to set him up with a girl, and then you get him into a fight that he wins. But then the people that, Yadim?
I think this was Yadim's work, yeah.
Yadim, paid off to lose that fight. Didn't actually pay them, I think. So they came to collect and kidnapped him. So you take Travis to go get him back.
Yeah.
And this is real danger.
Actual raider combat type scenario.
People shooting at you danger. And this small child brought a pipe pistol to this fight. Which is, like, the weakest gun in the game.
Oh, God, I hate pipe weapons.
So, he's like, if he's in trouble, he's my friend. And you know, the little bit of confidence he gained from these other things, he's like, I'm gonna go help him. And I'm like, okay, my son.
Stay behind me,
and we'll go do this. And... you know, you go through this, it's a brewery, I think. You go through it and you kill everybody and you get Yadim out and whatnot. And it's so, I would be looting stuff and he would just go running ahead and I would hear gunshots and I'd be like, Travis, no! And go running after him so he doesn't die. Because apparently, a lot of times when you have an NPC with you on a mission, they won't necessarily die unless that is a caveat of failing the mission.
Yeah.
And this is one of those. Travis can die. And then this, like, 10-year-old in Diamond City takes over the radio.
Yeah, yeah, the sketchy water boy.
So, but when you succeed in the mission, you get Yadim out. He's all in very good spirits after having been kidnapped. Travis is like, you know, this has all made me realize that we gotta really appreciate what we have, like, in the here and now. And there's no point in worrying about it because... you know, from one moment to the next, we don't know what's going to happen. So I'm just going to, you know, I'm done worrying about it. I'm done wasting the energy worrying about it.
Yeah.
And so the radio becomes he's very smooth on the radio now.
He actually becomes a suave DJ.
Very confident. And this is my favorite questline ever because this is the only time I have ever seen someone get reverse PTSD from going into a firefight. He goes into it with anxiety and comes out of it going, I don't care anymore. Now he's a nihilist.
Yeah.
So.
And there's people that'll go and do this mission absolutely first because they can't stand, like, nervous Travis.
It's cute.
I intentionally avoided doing this mission just because I found it so entertaining.
Yeah.
He'll, like, make these really awkward jokes about, like, the song 60 Minute Man.
Uh-huh.
And, like, he's trying so hard and doing so bad. It was great.
Well, I listened to it because it was kind of cute hearing this from this dude. But also, I was worried for him and I needed to go help him. But that was what I did find funny is as much as I didn't care about my actual son, Sean, I ended up, like, adopting Travis as my son.
Yeah.
And I still go check on him in his little trailer when I go to Diamond City. Oh, hi, how are you doing? I have completely forgotten about my flesh and blood progeny. But you I will check on, even though I know you're fine.
Speaking of Sean... Are you familiar with, like, the main plot and all the plot holes, spoilers therein?
Yeah, for the most part.
So, if you haven't played and you've not followed the main story and you don't want to be spoiled...
Tune out.
Tune out, I guess, yeah. But I'm going to say a few things that I found neat. You eventually find Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not a child. He is but 60 years old. Because when you were woken up and had him stolen, you were refrozen, and then you woke up many years later.
Right.
So you find him, and he's actually the leader of the Institute. Well, depending on how you made your character look, and depending on how you made your wife and or husband look, will determine what Sean looks like.
Nice.
And so, yeah, like, if you made both, quote-unquote, parents, you know, dark-skinned, Sean will have dark skin. If you widen up their face, so will his. And, like, this,
yeah,
it's entertaining sometimes because people make ridiculous-looking characters, yeah, and then you can kind of see it in Sean. That's all I wanted to bring up about that endpoint.
Oh, that was the only interesting thing really about that plot line.
Well, I mean, I also have synthetic gorilla meat.
Yeah.
Because aside from synthetic humans, they were also making synthetic animals, like
probably
gorillas.
Probably started with that.
So there's two gorillas in the Institute secret base. And I did the railroad quest line, which is they want to free the synths because they believe them as people. Like, you know,
several,
like,
synths work in the railroad.
Yeah.
It's the Underground Railroad.
It's the Underground Railroad.
For synthetic humans.
So one of the things that happened is I had to attack the Institute. Surprise, surprise. This happens if you choose the Brotherhood as well. It doesn't matter. It's basically pick one of the three factions, go destroy the home base of the other two. Regardless of what you pick.
What's the third one?
Brotherhood, Railroad, Institute.
Oh, okay.
So if you pick the Institute, they want you to go annihilate the Brotherhood and the Railroad.
Yeah.
You pick Railroad, you go destroy the Brotherhood in it. That's what I mean. I'm part of the lazy writing. It's the same thing no matter which direction you take, really.
Even...
Same outcome and everything.
Yeah, I remember you were saying how you weren't sure about ending the Brotherhood because you wanted their helicopters that help you... transport places?
Because if you get in good with the Brotherhood of Steel, you unlock a thing to where a helicopter transport is an available option to you.
Except that if you go the route of the railroad instead, they steal a helicopter and it's still
and they provide
available
you that option,
for you.
Yeah.
Yes, so it doesn't really matter. Which, I mean, on the one hand is fine because I would rather not have to make that hard choice of, do I want to stay with these horribly militant Brotherhood members? I mean... Honestly, I have to tell you guys how much I am so uncomfortable being around the Brotherhood. I went there and I got the power armor that they gave me, and there's Paladin Dance, who can be one of your companions.
Buzz Lightyear.
I call him Buzz Lightyear because, oh my god, he sounds like Buzz Lightyear fresh out of the box. But then I took the power armor and just kind of left it at Red Rocket Truck Stop. And I mostly wear my Minutemen power armor or the Nuka-Cola power armor.
Nuka-Cola! And
then Paladin Dance, I had to take with him at one point to, like, complete a quest or something. And then I set him on a supply line for my... And I set him on such a long supply line. Like, it's from the castle to Sanctuary.
Across the map.
Right, all the way across the map. If I wanted to find him, I can't. Because even fast traveling, time still passes for the world.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, like, I will fast travel to the place where, you know, he's nearby, and he will have moved three towns further. And I can't catch him. Sometimes he'll still be at the castle when I get there. But I can't...
Oh, I love
it. I will never have him as a companion again because I can't access him anymore.
You came across him on accident once.
Yeah.
Like, you were doing a random thing in the middle of the two places.
I was taking out super mutants.
Yeah.
And then he just came walking by with his Brahmin.
And, yeah, he just happened to be there.
And then there was a Brotherhood quest I did where you have to go talk to him after you're done clearing out the location. And I was like, oh, shoot, I have to go, like, talk to him to finish this quest. And I turn around. He's in there. He's in the building because the game put him there so I could finish the quest.
Him there.
They spawned him there. And I walk outside. The man brought his Brahmin with him. And after I was done with the quest, he was like, all right, I will go clean up around here. And then he didn't stick around because he's still on his supply line.
He has places to be.
He walks away with his Brahmin. And it's like, he's doing multiple jobs at once. I gotta give him props. Like, he does the thing.
He does his job.
Oh, man. I don't like the Brotherhood, but for all the just the awkward charm that Paladin Dance now has, he's kind of endeared himself to me.
He's a fun character.
Yeah.
Even if he's hard to stomach with his, I hate Finn
right.
so much. I want to talk about the Nuka World DLC a bit.
Yeah, that'll probably be the last thing.
Okay. What else do we have?
Well, I don't know. We didn't set a timer.
We forgot to, so.
This might be a long one. I have no
Or maybe it'll be
reference.
A short one.
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's talk about it now.
Yes.
So.
You're wearing your Nuka Cola
hat. I have a Nuka Cola hat.
It's
because
a snapback.
It is a snapback. People who know me fairly well tend to know that I'm a big fan of sodas. I like
Namely
Coca-Cola.
Yes.
My favorite is Coca-Cola. We are not sponsored. Hit me up, Coke.
He has a fair amount of Coca-Cola merch. And just sitting in this closet, I can see Coca-Cola sitting in his bedroom.
I think what do you call the stuff that, like, you line your ceiling with?
Oh, like border or whatever?
Yeah, like a top trim or whatever.
Yeah.
So I've got a phone there. I've got a tin whatever there. I've got a popcorn bucket, a lunchbox, some water, a little
you have a
literal
different,
glass.
A different Coca-Cola phone out in your bedroom.
Yeah, the other phone.
So, yeah, he likes
soda. I like soda.
Is that an Oscar? Oh, you got that for school.
It's not an Oscar, no, but it is an award.
Like, you won an Oscar?
So I like sodas. And in turn, with Fallout being one of my favorite games, my game series is, I'm fond of Nuka-Cola. Because it's satire of Coca-Cola
right.
in Fallout. I love
it. It's a satire of both Coca-Cola and Disney.
Nuka World. Okay, so Nuka World is a DLC for Fallout 4 where you go to an amusement park all about Nuka-Cola mm-hmm. called Nuka World. And you discover it is inhabited by three major raider tribes. But instead of attacking these tribes, you take out their overboss in this weird gauntlet game, and you become the new leader of all three of them.
Yes, which really was a power trip for days for me.
Oh, and like you go and you clear out the other sections of Nuka World, like Galaxy Zone and Animal Kingdom and whatnot. And eventually you
Kitty
can actually...
Kitty Kingdom, Safari World.
Safari
and,
World.
Bottling plant. And then like the Frontier
Oh, yeah.
Kingdom
Wild
or whatever.
Wild West Frontier place.
Yeah.
You know, much like how Disney has themed zones.
Right.
And if you go through and you finish all this, you can actually take these raiders and then have them go claim settlements in the Commonwealth. So
yes.
that you can continue your raider reign of terror if you want.
Or
you can just kill all of them.
Because they've taken a lot of traders and settlers as slaves. They put shock collars on them.
Yeah, they are still raiders, you know.
Where did they get the shock collars is what I want to know. Who's mass-producing shock collars in the Commonwealth?
I can only assume they are part of the Nuka World employee.
Yeah, part of the uniform.
Uniform.
Yeah.
Those in the mascot outfit have to wear the collar.
Yeah, if you read the term... So, Brad Burton... The owner of Nuka-Cola, the CEO of Nuka-Cola, the inventor of Nuka-Cola, is a terrible, terrible, terrible excuse for a human being, and ended up diverting a lot of funds away from Nuka World in the last years of pretty much civilization, you know, just before the bombs fell, diverted a lot of funds into a military project that was, that's very common in Fallout 4. A lot of seemingly normal places underneath will have a secret lab where they were doing military tests for various reasons, mm-hmm. mostly building new weapons. But,
and, you know, a concept that actually we're going to see a lot of in Fallout 76 as well.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea of secret military bases hidden under landmarks.
And Nuka World was a big one. They were trying to make, nuclear-based weapons, which... the Nuka-Cola company capitalized, well, at least Brad Burton did because he knew about it,
mm-hmm.
capitalized on that and also produced a soft drink out of the isotope that they found
right.
called Nuka-Cola Quantum.
Quantum. I have been trying to make Quantum.
It's a glowing soda.
I've been, for years, I've been contemplating how I could make a actually glowing beverage. Not like, oh, let's put it under an LED. Like a legitimate glowing on its own beverage. And I'm so close. I just don't have the funding.
His lab has been on it. But
I'm not going to say my secret idea because
I don't want y'all to steal it.
I don't want people to steal my idea.
So Brad Burton had diverted a lot of funds away from that and also a different military secret project that was going on at the time, which would extend a person's life indefinitely. Ended up forcing him to remove his head and install it in a machine that would make him live forever. But he's down in his own personal vault for 200 years, surviving like that. And it's a good punishment for a guy like him.
You actually do meet him, the head of Brad Burton.
And I bring this up because the shock collars being part of the uniform would not be something I'd put past Brad Burton.
Because a lot of this entire area being a joke on Disney World, Disneyland, whatever. There's a lot of things you see in there, like the blatant exploitation of
employees
of scenarios and like wealth. For example, they would charge you extra if you were mortally injured and they had to bring you a stretcher.
Mm-hmm.
They charged you for the stretcher,
right?
And it was like what, $400?
Yes,
things like that,
knowingly endangering consumers of Nuka-Cola products because they were adding nuclear isotopes to the drink and then pushing it. But what was... Oh, yeah. The one thing I thought was hilarious, and this is unrelated to the heinous things going on vis-a-vis Brad Burton and all the military projects. Vault-Tec, as a company, pretty much never produced a normal nuclear fallout shelter.
Yeah, right? There's like four test shelters.
All of their Vault-Tec, vaults are somehow a psychological testing ground.
Some are physical, some are... They were all tests.
They're all testing grounds. And so a lot of people, were harmed in this, but they could do whatever they wanted because there was no one who could stop them in the vaults. Now, what I thought was hilarious is there's an attraction in Galactic Zone of Nuka World.
Oh, yeah.
The Vault-Tec attraction, where they basically walked you through a vault and were like, these are the things that you can expect to see in a vault. And
well, mind you, when they were talking about these vaults, it wasn't... They had established this before the risk of a Cold War.
Yes.
They had the idea of these vaults were going to be
on different planets.
Yeah. Interplanetary living.
Right. So this was very framed in Living Among the Stars. So I think it was called Vault-Tec Among the Stars. That vault, that fake vault that wouldn't have protected anybody, was also an experiment.
Yeah.
They were gassing people with, beta waves.
Three minor ones. Like there was one that I think affected you with a gas. There was one that hit you with different waves.
Well,
was it three different types of waves?
It's three different types of waves. They were doing beta waves and whatever, those kinds of things. And then doing subtle suggestions. So they were seeing how they could manipulate people and suggest to them to do things that they would never normally do and see if that would work. And you notice this when you're going through the attraction because suddenly your vision goes funny because you're getting hit with these waves, these beta waves or whatever that are still functioning. And I'm like, really? Here? In the not a vault? You're still doing this? Vault-Tec is evil. And it was completely, this had nothing to do with the secret military experiments that were going on. It was just Vault-Tec.
Can I tell you some of the entertaining vaults?
Yes.
Because I get that. They're all weird experiments, right? So one vault is, I love this one, Vault 69.
Yeah.
Which consisted of one man and 1,000 women.
Oh, my God.
There was also Vault 68, which was one woman and 1,000 men.
Ah.
So that was a vault. I can't find the number for it, but there was one vault called Gary, which was entirely populated...
By Garys?
By clones of a man named Gary.
Oh.
So you actually can find this, I think, in Fallout 3. And they've gone crazy and hostile.
Oh.
And all they do is run around and say Gary as they attack.
Okay.
Gary. There is Vault 43, which is populated by 20 men, 10 women, and a panther.
Oh my gosh.
We don't know why.
Yeah.
What they were trying to hope for, but that's the thing. The gunners we were talking about, they were the result of what if we, like, our vault was specialized in training military strong individuals.
Ah, yeah.
So they were vault children that broke out and become very good at what they do.
Mm-hmm. That explains why they're so strong.
Here's Vault 112, which is virtual reality. The entire thing.
Wow. That's uncomfortable. Some of them are funny. Some of them are, like, it makes you cringe to think about it. Some of them are just sad what they did to people.
Oh, yeah. There's Vault 29, which consists of entirely children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite know how that
works. Oh, yeah. There was... Yes. I found that one under a school.
I found it. Vault 108 was the one full of Garys.
Ah. Wasn't there one entirely filled with cats?
Yes, there was. The one that, like, full of kittens or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember what number that... There's over hundreds of vaults, so... We've only seen, I would say, 12 of them in-game.
Yeah.
But you can read about others in Terminal, Hollow, blah blahs, and whatnot. So there's tons of them, and they're all full of different whatnots.
So, anyway, Nuka World.
Yes, right.
The two options are either go with the Raider gangs, or you kill all the Raider gangs and set all their slaves free, and then it becomes just a massive trading post. And since you've already cleared the rest of Nuka World... they go set up elsewhere, and you have a very fortified area that has now, because in several sections, people did set up there and try to defend against the raiders. They are also well defendable because they have traps and stuff already rigged and ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a really good DLC. It's a huge area of land that you can go around. There's a lot of detail in the different worlds. In Nuka World?
Oh, yeah, and because it's, a theme park, you get to jump from such wild varieties. Going from Galaxy Zone to Frontierland is wild that it's in the same DLC.
And then there, you can also, when you get the power turned back on, you can ride the rides.
Oh, yes.
So.
Yes.
It's a good DLC. That one, and we're told that Far Harbor is... worth the $40 that it costs, but we're waiting for it to go on sale before we test that one out.
$40 is a hard price for DLC.
But
I'm told it's really good.
If it's even better than Nuka World, then it's probably worth it, because Nuka World's amazing.
All I know is that it's recommended you bring Nick Valentine.
Yeah.
And that there's giant horseshoe crabs?
Oh.
I guess. I've not seen them.
Okay.
Oh, they're the harpoon gun. I believe it's like, I want to say it's like Bayou, somewhere kind of murky water based. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounded like there was like, I can't.
See, I've intentionally avoided learning about it because...
Don't want to be spoiled.
I don't want to spoil it. I want to go in fresh, pure of mind.
Anyway, so if you're someone who likes a story-heavy game with really good dialogue and compelling storylines, this game's probably not for you.
If you like walking around, shooting stuff up, and just exploring a very dense, rich world.
And having in your head your own storyline of what's going on.
If you like playing The Sims and building settlements.
Right. You'll love this game.
Absolutely. I was saying earlier how I suspect that Fallout 76 is going to be a lot like Fallout 4 in that regard, that it'll be very gameplay heavy. Which makes sense, because it's multiplayer, you're not going to be finding rich lore.
Right.
Or rich story. The lore is amazing.
Yeah.
Story's not.
Which is fine, especially if you're doing a multiplayer game like that, you're not really focusing on the main plot line anyway.
Yeah.
So, this might have gone a little long. We have no way to tell.
There's no sense of time in
there
this room.
There is no, we're just locked in here.
It could be, it's probably, I don't know, we're probably
we
right
no
on
idea.
Time.
Maybe.
So, yeah, we're calling it here then?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're good.
Yeah, we may talk about a different Fallout. Hey, maybe we'll play
New Vegas?
Yeah, maybe we'll play New Vegas and talk about that sometime in, like, October.
Yep, maybe.
So.
When 76 comes out, we're probably going to do... Well, I may not be able to... We'll have to see if I can get 76 on my laptop.
Yeah, because you got a new laptop, but you didn't exactly get, like, a gaming laptop. So.
Right, so
we're going to find out if your computer can run it, because I'd love for us to play together.
My old one ran Warcraft, so we'll see if
that is
this
true.
One can run 76.
Maybe, like, just on... lowest quality settings. We'll see.
So once we've played it a bit, we'll probably do some kind of an episode for that.
I'll definitely be playing. So if y'all want to just hit,
Yeah, we'll probably post on Twitter. And
I can't
see
really
if
say hit me up on Steam because it'll be through the Bethesda launcher, and I don't really know how friends work in that.
Once we get that,
hit me up on Twitter. Why not that?
Right, Twitter. Twitter's a good one.
Be my friend. Let's go explore West Virginia together.
So,
housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Give us a bow.
No freestyle.
I just.
We need to housekeep.
Suddenly scat. If you review us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, that'll make us happy. That helps us get seen by new people looking for podcasts like ours. Preferably good reviews. I found out if you give us a star rating but you don't comment, the comment doesn't appear, so we have no way of knowing if you reviewed. So if you want a review and you want us to know you gave us a review, give us a comment. Anything you want. Surprise me. You can also follow us on Twitter at Cozy Co-op Podcast. You can find us on Facebook with the same name. If you want to send us an email, tell us about a game we're going to talk about, like an anecdote or something. Give feedback, recommend a game that we could talk about, any of that jazz. Email us at cozycoop@thelizardrock.com. Business casual emails. I wonder how long I have to say that before it becomes just a set in running joke. Have we gotten that point yet?
We can't make our own running jokes.
We are. It's too late. Business casual emails is one of our running jokes.
Okay.
The news that you heard at the beginning of this podcast is gotten from.
Is
wow.
Gotten from.
I'm a writer.
I'm the creative writer.
That's true. We get our news
from...
But
you're the one who gets creative.
We get our news from thelizardrock.com. I write news there every Monday through Friday about video games. So if you want to keep up on the latest video game trends and whatnot, check out thelizardrock.com. It's where we host the podcast. If you want to support the podcast, perhaps by buying a video game for yourself at no extra cost, you can still support us with that whole deal, Humble Bundle, blah, blah. You can read about that at thelizardrock.com/support. And next week, we're going to be talking about...
Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
Yahoo!
Jump up superstar. I can't do the Mario voice. It's too high. I have that rich baritone voice that can't quite emulate Mario.
We'll talk more about how Mayor... We're going to talk more about how Mayor Pauline is my wife.
That is true. So we've got Travis as your son and Pauline as your wife.
Yes, it's a really, really happy family. So, that's it for us today. Cozy up with us next week on The Cozy Co-op.
Outro music. Bongo, 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 I don't want to leave the Congo, no. Bingo, bingo, bongo, I don't, something in the
place. I'm so
place
happy in the Congo.
I'm happy in the Congo, it's the place to go.
I refuse to go.
Civilization.